Good afternoon. This is Akashvani. I'm Anuja Kumar with the Midday News. The headlines. Campaigning intensifies for assembly elections in four states and one union territory. Election Commission approves creation of 4,660 auxiliary polling stations for assembly elections in West Bengal. Uttar Pradesh police arrests four members of Pakistan's ISI-linked terror module from Lucknow. One more Indian-flagged LPG tanker, Green Sanvi, on way to India after crossing war-affected Strait of Hormuz. Iran rejects United States' proposal for a 48-hour ceasefire amid escalating West Asia conflict. Shyam Sundar Swamy secures bronze medal at World Archery Para Series in Bangkok. And in cricket, Delhi Capitals to take on Mumbai Indians while Gujarat Titans to face Rajasthan Royals in IPL today. And now the news in detail. Campaigning has intensified for assembly elections in four states and one union territory. Kerala is witnessing high-voltage campaigning ahead of the assembly polls on 9th of April. Prominent national leaders from major political fronts are leading election rallies in key constituencies across the state. More from our correspondent.
Prime Minister and senior BJP leader Narendra Modi will arrive in Kerala this afternoon to attend NDA election campaigns in Tiruvalla and Thiruvananthapuram. He will address a public meeting at Tiruvalla Stadium, where NDA candidates from nearby constituencies along with senior party leaders will be present. Thereafter, the Prime Minister will arrive in Thiruvananthapuram and lead a roadshow from Karamana to Pillipalam in the heart of the city. Lok Sabha opposition leader and senior Congress leader Rahul Gandhi addressed a public meeting in Alappuzha today. He will also attend UDF campaigns at various constituencies in Idukki and Ernakulam districts. Kerala Chief Minister and senior CPM leader Pinarayi Vijayan is campaigning in Kannur's Dharmadam constituency, where he is contesting as LDF candidate. CPM General Secretary M.A. Baby attended the LDF campaigning programs in Kottayam today. Top leaders including union ministers, chief ministers and other star campaigners are actively campaigning across the state as the public campaigning in Kerala will conclude on Tuesday. Anila Balakrishnan, Akashvani News, Thiruvananthapuram.
With nominations to end on Monday, Prime Minister and senior BJP leader Narendra Modi had a discussion with senior leaders of the state BJP in Chennai. Union Minister of State Dr. L. Murugan, former Governor Tamilisai Soundararajan, State President of BJP Nayanar Nagendran, former State BJP Leader Annamalai and Vanathi Srinivasan were present in the meeting. Earlier, he met with important persons and senior leaders of the party this morning. Mr. Modi also met Ramesh Vinayakam and his family. Ramesh is a music composer, music teacher and a music therapist. He is also a playback singer. He has also patented the Gamak box, his invention and a type of ornamentation in Indian classical music. Later, the Prime Minister left for Kochi to attend the NDA election campaigns in Tiruvalla and Thiruvananthapuram. The Communist Party of India Marxist has released its manifesto for the 2026 Puducherry Legislative Assembly elections, placing key emphasis on granting full statehood to Puducherry, ensuring 50% reservation for women in local bodies and promoting mother tongue-based education. The party has also proposed the establishment of a separate state education board, 6% budget allocation for education and greater decentralization of powers to strengthen local governance. The Election Commission has approved creation of 4,660 auxiliary polling stations in West Bengal to facilitate voters where number of voters exceeded 1,200. The Commission has also approved shifting of 321 polling stations for the convenience of the voters. The total number of polling stations, including auxiliary polling station, are now 85,379 in West Bengal. Election Commission has written a letter to the Chief Electoral Officer of the state in this regard. TMC leader Hafizul Mulla Pradhan of Deoli 1 Gram Panchayat has been arrested for allegedly threatening the voters in West Bengal. He was accused of threatening his opponents in South 24 Pargana district. Election Commission officials said that West Bengal police will take necessary legal action against the accused. Union Minister Kiran Rijiju today said that any misunderstandings regarding the Foreign Contribution Regulation Amendment, FCRA Bill 2026, will be addressed. He emphasized that while violations will invite strict action, but organizations working for the country's welfare will not be disturbed. He also said that concerns raised by Christian missionaries will be taken into account. Rijiju added that Prime Minister Narendra Modi remains committed to the welfare of every Indian. The Union Minister made these remarks during his visit to Kerala, where he interacted with a wide range of stakeholders. In Assam, polling is scheduled to be held in single phase for all 126 Legislative Assembly constituencies on the 9th of April. In our series of constituency profiles, today we take a look at Silchar Assembly seats.
The 118 number Silchar Legislative Assembly constituency is one of the 126 constituencies of Assam, with polling scheduled to be held on 9th April. Silchar, a key constituency in the Kasar district, is part of the Barak Valley region. It is predominantly a Bengali-speaking urban seat, where major electoral issues include urban infrastructure, employment, healthcare, civic development and transport connectivity. In the current assembly election, seven candidates are in the fray. The Bharatiya Janata Party has fielded Dr. Rajdeep Roy, while the Indian National Congress has nominated Abhijit Pal. The SUCI Communist has put up Bhavatash Chakraborty along with four independent candidates. Following the 2023 delimitation exercise, the Silchar Legislative Assembly constituency has witnessed changes in its geographical boundaries and voter composition. According to the Election Commission of India, the constituency has about 2,11,000 voters. Of these, more than 1,08,000 are female voters, over 1,03,000 are male voters, and 5 are registered as transgender voters. Polling will take place across 257 polling stations. In the 2021 assembly election, a total of 11 candidates contested from the seat. Key contenders included BJP's Dipayan Chakraborty, Congress candidate Tamalkanti Banik, Prasanta Laskar of RPA Athawale, and Dulali Chakraborty of SUCI Communist, along with several independent candidates. The seat was won by BJP's candidate Dipayan Chakraborty. Aminullah Zardar, Akashvani News, Guwahati.
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on X handle at EIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsoneir.gov.in and download the News on EIR app. Uttar Pradesh police has busted an ISI module and arrested four suspected handlers from Lucknow who were allegedly planning to trigger blasts at important places including railway stations. A report.
According to anti-terrorist squad of UP police, the four suspects identified as Shakib alias David and Arbab, both residents of Meerut, and Vikas Gehlawat and Lokesh, residents of Gautam Buddha Nagar, were arrested yesterday. The module allegedly planned to create terror by triggering blasts at railway signal boxes, crowded places, vehicles laden with gas cylinders, and at the premises of reputed organizations, and their first target was Lucknow railway station. Shakib, who worked as barber, was the head of the gang, and that he was in touch with his Pakistani handlers through social media platforms like Telegram, Instagram and others. Sushil Chandra Tiwari, Akashwani News, Lucknow.
One more Indian-flagged LPG tanker's Green Sanvi has crossed the war-affected Strait of Hormuz and is now en route to India. Government sources said that Green Sanvi has become the seventh India-bound LPG tanker to cross the Strait of Hormuz since the West Asia conflict began. A total of 17 Indian-flagged vessels with more than 400 Indian seafarers remain in the western Persian Gulf region. Iran has formally rejected a United States proposal for a 48-hour ceasefire, underscoring a hardening of Tehran's stance amid the escalating West Asia conflict and raising concerns about further instability in the region. More from a correspondent.
Reports indicate that Iran has formally rejected a United States proposal for a 48-hour ceasefire. The offer was conveyed through a third country, but Tehran responded by intensifying operations on the ground rather than pausing. There has been no public comment from the United States on the rejection. However, U.S. and Israeli forces have continued pressure with fresh strikes inside Iran, with Iranian officials reporting additional casualties near key infrastructure. The rejection comes as Iran's military claims fresh successes, including strikes on an F-15 F-15 fighter aircraft and an A-10 Thunderbolt close ground support aircraft in the past few hours, while vowing to continue operations until its conditions are met. Diplomatic channels now appear stalled, with both sides signaling resolve rather than compromise as the conflict moves into another intensity. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News, Dubai.
External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar has said that the current global turbulence is not merely situational but also structural in nature as the world order undergoes significant transformation. Addressing the 15th convocation ceremony of IIM Raipur, Dr. Jaishankar observed that there are visible shifts in the relative power and influence of nations. He noted that political systems in some societies are finding it difficult to adapt to these evolving changes. The minister highlighted that rapid advancements in technology, energy, military capabilities, connectivity, and resources have contributed to greater risk-taking in an increasingly competitive global environment. He remarked that various domains are now being leveraged and, in some cases, even weaponized.
Everything today is being leveraged, if not actually weaponized. The world is then confronted with the prospect of securing itself in an increasingly volatile and unpredictable environment. This has necessitated a larger inclination to hedge, to de-risk, and to diversify, whether it is a business choice or a foreign policy one.
In view of the ongoing crisis in West Asia, Coal India Limited is making every possible effort to meet the country's energy requirements. Speaking to Akashvani News during his visit to Korba, the chairman of Coal India, B. Sairam, said that there is adequate coal stock available at present to meet the nation's energy demand. Industry bodies have welcomed the government's decision to grant customs duty exemption on a wide range of critical petrochemical products. Talking to media, General Manager for Policy and Strategic Affairs with Involution Healthcare Private Limited, Ravi Rathod, said the decision to grant full customs duty exemption on several petrochemical inputs will ensure manufacturing continuity and prevent price hikes in essential medical devices.
India's decision to provide a full custom duty exemption on select petrochemical inputs is very timely, especially in the context of ongoing disruptions in the West Asia. From a domestic medtech industry standpoint, this move is necessary. The industry has already flagged the supply chain inputs such as the polymers and specialty plastics, which are critical for manufacturing devices like syringes, catheters, implants.
On to sports. Indian archer Shyam Sundar Swamy secured a bronze medal in the compound men's individual event at the World Archery Para Series in Bangkok. Swamy defeated fellow Indian archer and Paris Paralympic bronze medalist Rakesh Kumar in a tie break after both were locked at 143 points. Rakesh Kumar finished fourth after losing the bronze medal match to Swamy. Anjum Tanwar also finished fourth in the women's individual event, losing her bronze medal match. The Bangkok meet follows the Asia Cup first leg held recently at the same venue, where India delivered a strong showing with a haul of 10 medals, including 2 gold and 4 silver. And in IPL cricket, Delhi Capitals will take on Mumbai Indians at Arun Jaitley Stadium in Delhi this afternoon. The match will start at 3:30 p.m. In another match, Gujarat Titans will face Rajasthan Royals at Narendra Modi Stadium in Ahmedabad this evening. The match is scheduled at 7:30 p.m. Earlier, Punjab Kings defeated Chennai Super Kings by 5 wickets in Chennai last night. Chasing a victory target of 210 runs, Punjab Kings achieved the target in 18.4 overs. For Punjab Kings, skipper Shreyas Iyer was the top scorer with 50 runs. Priyansh Arya, who scored 39, was declared player of the match. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Campaigning intensifies for assembly elections in 4 states and 1 union territory. Election Commission approves creation of 4,660 auxiliary polling stations for assembly elections in West Bengal. Uttar Pradesh police arrests 4 members of Pakistan's ISI-linked terror module from Lucknow. One more Indian-flagged LPG tanker, Green Sanvi, on way to India after crossing war-affected Strait of Hormuz. Iran rejects United States' proposal for a 48-hour ceasefire amid escalating West Asia conflict. Shyam Sundar Swamy secures bronze medal at World Archery Para Series in Bangkok. And in cricket, Delhi Capitals to take on Mumbai Indians, while Gujarat Titans to face Rajasthan Royals in IPL today. And with that, we end the midday news.